funds, and of course, it was never going anywhere. And she said, used to say in Yiddish, "Mir mir kevzer, don't find it, don't tease me," she said. "Rav Chaim but Masada Kedushi event Amir. Rav Chaim but Masada Kedushi." And this, that meant that you were immune for life. Rav Chaim was Masada Kedushi. And my Zayda was a magid who traveled the world and sent the money back to Risk. Risk was a city that was destroyed in the First World War. It was an armory. It was on the Russian-Polish border, and that was it was destroyed. And my Zayda traveled, and he was a magid, so he would entertain you. He'd make you laugh. He'd ask for a dime or a nickel or whatever it was in those days, and he would send the money back to Risk. In fact, the Risk Rosh Hashivas, Risk Rav and his children all had a car set aside because that's what kept them going, was that money from America that he would go and raise as he traveled the world. I come, my father himself is a Talmud Chacham, Baruch Hashem, he's in Hilchos Ishus, he's a guy. My father is in Memphis, and he's probably written 20,000 Gittin in his life. Writing Gittin and Bechlal, Hilchos Ishus in America is a very challenging thing. A get is a challenging thing because people don't know their names, they're not even sure if they're Jewish. And you have all kinds of shilas of who's married, who's not married, who's Jewish, who's not Jewish, what their name was, what, and all of these things everyone understands. With a get, there's a shila of Ishus, there's a shila of Mamzeres, right? So therefore, to become an expert, I remember, I'll just say one funny thing. I was a kid. I remember my father calling Rav Moshe to ask, my father was a Talmud Rav Moshe for many years, asked how we should write Houston in a get. Is it Houston with a hey or Houston with a yud? Okay, everybody, okay, all right, Houston. And Rav Moshe answered something, and my father started laughing. I said, "Dad, what did Rav Moshe say that was so funny?" He said, "It's neither, it's Houston. It's Houston." Everybody knows in the East Side. Everybody knows in the East Side is Houston Street. And as I grew up in a home, my father is a Talmud Chacham, but it was really, Rabbonus is Askonus. Rabbonus is Askonus. We talk about Isaac to Torah, Isaac and Piri of Arabia. Askonus means Nachrayus to see that something is taken care of. If you build a yeshiva, you're also Isaac to Torah. If you support Torah, etc. So my life has been, I tried to do as Askonus. I am technically a computer scientist. I taught in universities for many years. I did all my doctoral work in computer science. That's been I wrote a book on voice over the internet. What Skype is, we had an early version. We sold it to AT&T for $1.5 billion, just a piece of it, not to phone. So I had my career has been in technology, it's still in here. Now I take brands and put them on Amazon. So if there's a large brand that wants to be represented on Amazon, they need help, that's what we do now. So I've had a software world, but really my love and my passion has been helping Jews. And once you define it as that, so it's a broad thing, it's helping them financially, it's helping them in Kiruv, it's helping them with Shidduchim. And in each of these areas over the past 40 years, I've tried to do what I can to make a difference. And I want nothing except that this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants for me. I told my wife when I got married, we got married in New York, that I was going to move to some city in America to do Kiruv. And after I had four kids, I brought her home a book of 100 of America's best cities. I said, you can pick any city you want to, it doesn't matter, they all need Yidden. And we picked in those days, it was between Houston and Dallas. Neither one had much going on today, Baruch Hashem. Both are, and Dallas is near Ben Yisrael today, and Houston has also grown. But I moved my four kids to Dallas for 5 years to do what I could. So my life has been dedicated to helping you. And the reason I'm here is because I've learned a tremendous amount in 40 years, mostly through mistakes, which is how Chevy Pulsari would come, and the Pasuk says, you learn, Rav Hunter points out his mind rather to you in his letter, that you learn from mistakes. So I've made a lot of mistakes, and if I could talk to young B'nai Torah like you, and I can teach you some of my mistakes, maybe you guys will make less than I make, you can avoid some. Can somebody just take care? This is a handout, and I'll try to go through it. Today we're going to talk about Chesed in particular. I raise today around $5 million a year. That's public information. You can go on the internet and find that out. You can look up the Davis Memorial Fund. That money is raised and given out to needy families. I have a particular focus for divorced women, divorced mothers with children, and almonis. Those are two areas I focus on. Divorce is rampant today. This Shabbos, I'm making a weekend for 500 divorced mothers. 500, it's my 12th year. and I'm doing it in Stamford at the Crown Plaza. Basically, I invite 500 mothers for Shabbos, and I just give them everything I can. So they come, they have gifts. There are 25 professionals that sit with them, so they can have yechidus with 25 professionals. That includes Rabbi Bender is usually there. So when is a woman, a divorced mother, ever going to get to talk to Rabbi Bender? Rabbi Bender has 2,000 kids in Darte. Okay, he can't talk to anybody, right? He got 2,000 kids, he can't. But he sits for 20 hours and talks to every woman, can have a 15-minute discussion to talk about her sons with Rabbi Bender. Rabbi Revson from Nevei, many of them, but many of his mothers are his students, their girls are. There are dating coaches, alienation experts, psychiatrists, psychologists, lawyers, mediators. A woman can have yechidus with people, from people that can help them, and that's very important for them because they're lost in the world. They're busy trying to run a family. I'm sure some of you have divorced in your family. Maybe the children of a divorced mother or have an aunt or some relations, sisters. Today it's everywhere, and that group is really, about 15 years ago, I started to see that this group was the most needy group that I was dealing with of all the people I was helping because the money just doesn't work. I mean, you know, you just do the arithmetic. She can't go to work. She's got kids at home. She may not have a career. She has no experience. The ex is off with his own life, you know, in the case of a custodial mother. Yesterday, I spoke at Nefesh. Nefesh is the from social workers, from psychology. I spoke to them on the topic of divorced women to talk about where they're at and what they need. But in any case, that's been one population I focused on. Certainly, that's a chunk of money, but the rest of the money I just distribute as broadly as I can. I'm very focused on my own neighborhood. Probably a few million come from there, and so that's the money part of it. But I want to make a clear point, and that is that Chesed Stucco is not about money. There is money in Klal Yisrael for any legitimate cause. Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. This is not the issue. But a donor wants to hear that a person of Achrayus is running this case. He wants to hear a business perspective. Why are we taking this money? Did you try this? Did you do this? Why is this necessary? Why is this the only ASA? And when a businessman hears that, he contributes, and he contributes generously. And once you have a reputation of being a person that's erlich, once you have a reputation of being a person that's sincere and that works and is willing to put in their time and effort, then you will be able to get money. Vendors will give you money. Every storekeeper, every observant storekeeper knows there are needy people. If you have a ladies' clothing store, you know there are women that need dresses that don't have any money. That's not a chiddush to you. Every Jew understands he's got an achrayus to that, right? I got a dress store. I have stuff I want to help. The only thing is he needs that an Oskin walks in and says, you know what? I'll pay a piece of it. I'll send you people that I know are needy. I'll make sure that there's not a problem for you. I'll take last year's dresses or this next season, whatever it is. So once a vendor sees, I have a grocery store I do business with, I did $1.5 million with them this past year. I walked into them four days ago, and I said, guys, I buy $1.5 million from you. They give me a tremendous amount of them, but I said, I'm broke, I want money. They said, here's $30,000. The grocery store gave me $30,000, excuse me. They wrote me a check for $30,000. Whoever got the vendor to give them money, you understand? I mean, that's already off, okay? There's something off about that. Why? They see that I'm sending people there. They know that they have an achrayus. It's a big grocery store, obviously. They know they have an achrayus to Klal Yisrael. They know there are needy people. And when they see that someone works with them and someone, so whatever their hanach is, they see that I'm working with them. I pay them reliably. I'm on top of it with them. So they baruch Hashem, they contribute. So there's no lack of partners and there's no lack of giving. So I wrote here a little about what I've learned from Chesed, some of the things. And I'll go through them with you. Rabbi, what time officially do we have over? Anybody can leave when they want to go. I'm not Bavuyish, whatever you want. I'm here. The Tevaschem is with Tevaschem. Stay, and if not, Gesundheit, it's okay. What time is the official time they have to go? What is the program?
So, I mean, everybody has different schedules in terms of shiur. I mean, usually we allot about an hour, so I guess okay, about 1:15 if that works. And then if people have to come or if they want to stay longer, then, you know.
It's okay, fine. And you can feel good. The point is that it's maskiladol. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us brains, so we got to use the brains. Otherwise, it's I used to say. So when I meet a guy that's sometimes not thinking, I say, "Nah, hanos masetli bin." There's not a brachal about tol in the morning. You know what I mean? There's something to it. So clearly, in askonis, we need to use our brain. And let me explain to you what that means. It's not only a question.
I have plenty.
Does everybody get? Yeah. I have everybody that's two pages. It's not just a question of helping a person, it's finding out where it's meaningful. Let's go through this. So first of all, it's how we accomplish. No one died of hunger. So let's right away, let's make that note. In our world, I just don't know anybody died of hunger, at least in America, except for the people your mother would tell you about. If you don't eat the broccoli, they're going to die by Afra. So except for those people, we don't know anybody. So then the question comes about, so where am I, what am I doing here? So the answer is that I want to take the load. I want to take the emotional stress. That's where the Rambam writes, Evan Loris Lefanov, Sus Lirkomala, why you gotta give a guy a Cadillac if he needs it? If he used to drive a Rolls, you gotta get him a Rolls from Stuck to Money. What's the chesed? He came back, and a Honda Accord's not good enough. I mean, the guy needs a Rolls because he always had a Rolls. If you understood the sensitivity is that the Gvir, who always had a Rolls, is as embarrassed in the Honda Accord as someone else might be, and so then you understand that I'm trying to alleviate pain. I'm trying to alleviate emotional pain. And the emotional pain of a Gvir who always had a Rolls Royce driving around in a car that's not a Rolls Royce is as great or equal to anybody else's emotional pain. Okay, again, obviously a physical pain would come first. If you only had limited money, you would have to give it to the person that needs to eat first. We're not saying that. But if I have the money, I'm a chuyev to give stuff the money to take off that emotional pain that he has. So let's take that as a premise. Let's go through. First of all, Chesed's a mitzvah which lets us replicate Hashem. Right? That's Ma'uchan, Avanacharon, right? Chanoisa Shear Ochen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's the one that gives but for nothing. There's clearly no Chesed Shalemus with everything he does. It's the only opportunity that we have to convert something into eternity. You have a new car. You buy them a brand new, wonderful car. Everybody knows after 5-10 years, the car's going to be in the veil. What's going to be the look like after 5-10 years? What's it going to look like, especially if you taught your kids how to drive in it? You know what it's going to look like, right? So, anyhow, but the point is, so I have nothing from that. But if I've lent that car to people, I made that car a car of chesed, I did mitzvahs with that car, then that car's an eternity because that's with me, that's a nitzchias, it's with me forever. Number three is, the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu starts, our first introduction to a yid is through chesed, right? That's the introduction to Avram. Clearly that gives a value. I saw it today from my wine rides in Bali. He says, Yosef HaTzadik, this week is Yosef's Nisoyim with Eishes Latifar, and the world calls him Yosef HaTzadik, and the world says, because he resisted that Yetzer Hara, whatever. But Rabbi Wein writes, he's probably also called Tzadik because he said, Anochi Achal Keleschem. When the brothers came after the tear of Yosef, he had plenty of reasons to take revenge on his brothers. He not only didn't take revenge, he sustained them and kept them in Klai Yisrael, survived them in Mitzrayim, all because of his benevolence. He said, there's tzidkus there. That's Tzadik. Tzadik is a person that's willing to take care of other people, even though even within a reason not to. All right, number four is, we know Klai Yisrael by Shana Rachman and Goyle Chasadim, so there's value there. And number five is, it makes it important. The Balei Musar say, if you want Yom Kippur to know that you're going to have a Din L'Toy, the best thing you can do is make sure that other people need you. When you're a Baal Chesed, other people are counting on you. And if you're not giving anybody anything, so then they don't need you, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to determine why he needs you. You understand? If you're here in this world, so one of the things we do to make ourselves valuable is make sure others need us. Number six, why don't people do more chesed? And this is, I'm going to go through a bunch of reasons. I try to, as I am in this room, trying to promote for every one of you to do chesed. So why don't we? So first of all, because people don't think they're going to succeed. And the reality is in spiritual things, it's not a business plan. You know, when you do a business plan, you want to do a startup, an internet startup. So you have risk rewards. If you go into an internet startup and I say, I want to start up, everybody's going to say, where's your investment money? Where's your experience? What's your prototype? What's your model? Show me that it's going to work, right, etc. Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's work doesn't go like that. You know, I was in Santiago, Chile once, and the Rav said to me, I was in business there, and the Rav, I'm going to build a mikvah. I'm building a mikvah. I said, great, he's building a mikvah. What a wonderful thing, you know. I expected he's going to make an announcement. I go in the backyard, there's the rabbi with the shovel building a mikvah. Do you understand? When I'm Santiago Chile, you're digging a mikvah, it means you got a shovel when you dig. But if we want to do things, it doesn't work like, if you wait, I think Ruderman once said that if he would have waited to have the money to build Ner Yisrael, he would still be waiting. The way we build the yeshiva is we make an announcement, we take a page in the newspaper, says there's going to be a yeshiva in this neighborhood. There's going to be a yeshiva here. You have no money, you have no Rebbe, you have no Talmidim, you have no nothing. That doesn't mean anything. And that's how I work. I've been trying to build a wedding hall for $10 million a long time. Now, I don't have a nickel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it to happen. When it comes to it, it'll happen. And if it doesn't, if it's not my tzlichus, it means HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want it. I'm only mechuyev to be my ishtadlus. You know, in Yiddish they say, a mensh daf ton, God daf ton. A man does, and God makes it succeed or not.
It's not my job. I can't make things succeed. I can only make my effort. I make a commitment. I do the best I can. And if it fails, it fails. So what? What does that mean? I didn't fail. I did the best I could. Right? So first of all, we have to understand that. So I'm going to make a commitment to do something that's beyond my ability. So what? A Kodesh Baruch Hu will help you, and you'll see Hatzlacha. And by the way, that Hatzlacha has nothing to do with... You know, I'm the chairman of Jeff Long Island. Jeff Long Island is a Kira program, Camp Megillah. I named Camp Megillah because in those days when I named it, the camps were named Wanasaki. They had Indian names. You know, that's how the secular world would go. They send their kids Indian names. So I named it Nagila, figuring that the secular world would think it's an Indian name and the rest of us would know it's Nagila. You understand what I mean? That was my plan. But anyway, we built a camp. Camp Megillah has had five influxes of money over its life. The campus was given by a guy who does not believe in Kirov at all. He donated to Kirov camp because he had a worker working for him whose son was at Kirov, and he said, if you want, this will make you happy, I'll buy you the facility, even though he don't believe in the cause. So already this is like, okay. Number two, a lady left all her money to her cat. The lawyer for the cat was a friend of Jeff's, so we became in charge of the cat. So Jeff got money because we're taking care of the cat. So can I really tell you that this is Greenblatt's? Listen to this business brilliance, you understand? What a strategy for supporting an institution. I wait for a cat to die that's got a lot of money. And so he got his daven for a wealthy cat to die. You can support it. Then a couple of guys next door, they had a bungalow colony next door. They said they want to buy a piece of land because they want to extend their bungalow colony and they need more space for zoning reasons. Well, they gave us $100,000. They never did the project, and they said, keep the money, you're a good organization. There's no strategy here, Rabbi. So you'll excuse me. This isn't knocking on. We knock on doors. We do everything. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you Hatzlacha that has nothing to do with you. That's how this business works. You knock on doors, you beg people, you make dinners, you ask people and everything, and you catch through, and it doesn't go. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay. There's a story of a Rebbe. He's a guy running. He says, where are you running? He says, I'm running to my business, trying to make money, going to business. So Rebbe says, how do you know your business is not that way? In other words, you don't know where your parnassus is coming from. You think your parnassus is there? God's got it over there. You know what I mean? You work, and then if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, you win the lottery. You understand what I mean? So in any case, we don't realize number six that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really the one doing it. Number seven, we're a spectator generation. The whole world is that way. We sit on the couch. We watch Trump, what he should do. We watch basketball stars, golf stars, movie actors. Everybody sits on the couch telling the world, thinking what that guy should do and what the other guy should do and how they could do a better job, a worse job. You know, I'm in Gateways for 30 years, so we have an Ask the Rabbi session. 1,000 people in a room ask the Rabbi. Every question is this. Why doesn't Mishpacha magazine do this, and why doesn't the Moetzes do this, and why doesn't the schools do this, and why don't this guy do this? And I want to say to myself, Kodesh Baruch Hu's not going to ask you why Rabbi Bender didn't do this in Darthe, or why Mishpacha doesn't do this. He's going to ask you, what did you do? That's the question we have to ask ourselves. And being a spectator doesn't get you anywhere. At the end of the day, you're going to chas v'shalom, live your life as a spectator. The secular world, the whole internet is a bunch of spectators. What is it? We're sitting around watching, discussing what the other people should do, what they did wrong and what they did right. What is that? What for a yid? What tachlis would that be? Kodesh Baruch Hu put us here to record, you know, to record. So number three, we're afraid of failure. You know, okay, that's pretty normal. I think I once saw a quote, I'll say Winston Churchill, even though it's a mock of a say, Winston Churchill said like this, success is failure after failure without a diminishment of excitement. In other words, failure after failure without excitement. In other words, not losing excitement. Failure is part of growth. When I fail, I say, great, I know how to do it better next time. Thomas Edison said, they asked him, how do you figure out how to make an incandescent light bulb? He said, I figured out 10,000 ways not to make one. Okay, but that scares us. We see ourselves as limited. It's an insecure world. Every person is insecure, tremendously insecure. And therefore, I'm not going to succeed. Number 10, I'm already busy with other things. I'll do it later. And that's the common. We know when I have money, when I get a wife, when I get a family, then I'm going to do chesed, etc., whatever. Never had a guy used to tell me every time he loses his weight, he's going to start dating. You know what I mean? Never do his nifter a buffer. I mean, when he loses weight, he's going to start dating. We all have things that we procrastinate with. If someone else would start it, I would do it. What should I do about halachic questions? Of course, that's the front part. We don't ask about halachic questions when we do all kinds of other things. But when you ask to do a mitzvah, then we're worried about halacha, you know? So we have to be honest with ourselves. And what will so-and-so say? What's the chesed perspective? First of all, a person is defined by their midos, which is chon and chesed. Shlomo Hyman's in front of the Rosh Yeshiva Tervadas said they're not bad people, they're just bad midos. Midos are it. Marriage, that's it. In life, that's it. We spend our whole lifetime on our midos. I think the world says, or Chaim Friedlander, the Mechaber of the Sifrei Chaim, he asked Rashach. He was told he had 3 weeks to live, I believe the story is. And he asked Rashach, what should he do? That's a question for a gadol, right? I wouldn't want to be asked that question. Guy says, I got 3 weeks to live, what should I do? And Rashach told him, work on your midos. First of all, you have to understand who Friedlander was. He wrote 25 volumes of Sifrei Chaim on midos. But he said, work on your midos. This is a person's tachlis of life. And chesed is really tests and requires midos. Number 16, anova is taking you out of the equation. And clearly, a person is about chesed can't be about gaiva because the two, he has to ignore himself when he wants to help others properly. Number 17, we understand that the Gemara said in Avodah Zarah they asked Rebbe, why, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do everything, why are there poor people in the world? Rebbe said, they're here for us. Number 18, the key characteristic is to work on empathy. How would I feel? This is really what you have to train yourself to do, is to empathize. There's a beautiful story of the Rebbe, remembers what Rebbe he was. He was in Vienna, Austria, and the story goes like this. This is a great story. The story goes that he used to help boys get out of the draft. Everyone knows that in all of Malchus of Rishon, the Klal Yisrael was in, and then certainly in Poland and Russia, they would take the Jewish boys, draft them, and put them on the front line. So he would always, the Rebbe would give them advice how to get out of the draft. And it got back to the Goyim, the Malchus, the government, that he was doing that, which is against the law. So they sent in a Yid, what do we call him, a Maser, they sent in a Yid, a pathetic Jew, to go and test the Rebbe to see if that's it, and then they could arrest the Rebbe. And the Yid came in and he says, Rebbe, brother, I'm in trouble. I need your help. My son is getting redrafted. So the Rebbe says, Taki, he says, tell me again. He said, Rebbe, he said, we got a letter in the mail. We got a letter, a telegram that then next week my son has to go into the army, which Gefrelef is a psychotic. What should we do? The Rebbe said, say it again. And he tells over the third time and embellishes again. And the Rebbe said, after the third time, he says, what are you talking about? You have to send your son to the army. You got drafted from Mokhlid. We live here. We have to respond to it. Go send him to the army. So after they left later, they found out, of course, that this was all sting. This was a sting, as they say, this was an effort to catch him, And they felt that the Rebbe was Ruach HaKodesh. And he said to the Rebbe, was this Ruach HaKodesh? How did you know the guy was just trying to catch him? Rebbe says, no, he said, when a Yid comes to me and he cries, I feel it. And I didn't feel his pain. And I asked him to say it over again. Why am I not feeling the Yid's pain? And I saw by the third time that I'm not feeling pain because he doesn't have pain. Because it must not be true. Because if it was, he would have pain. All right? And we have to be able to, if you empathize with a person, then you'll feel, how would you feel it if you couldn't pay your electric bill and the lights were going to be turned off, So that helps us a lot. Number 19, remember they didn't do anything wrong. As my mother would say, money's round. If you're the figure of a, Rebbe Chaner writes it Hunter writes that the reason it's called it's round. Kesef is called that because it's round. Okay, we all know it rolls away. I have a fellow in my neighborhood. Maybe 15, 20 years ago, I brought challis to his house on Shabbos. He didn't have bread for Shabbos. Today he's worth maybe $400 million. Didn't have bread for Shabbos. And by the way, if I live in Lawrence, if you knocked on every door of every wealthy guy in Lawrence, they would all tell you a story. How one there was a time in their life they didn't have a nickel. A real businessmen that have gone through the travails of business have ups and have downs. So there's nothing wrong with someone because they're in a down time. They didn't do anything wrong necessarily. Number 20, we have to do chesed with whatever we have. Moshe writes in his Moshe, the true of his, that a person has to do chesed with every resource. If you're a musician, you have to teach a kid who doesn't have money how to play music. Right? Whatever your talent is, you must please get miser from it, Moshe writes. So even if you don't have money, you can help people with whatever you're a good student, so tutor a kid, whatever it is. Next, number 21, as I said before, our job is only ishtadlus. Success is up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Number 22, remember, what happens to a nitzrach is they work themselves into the worst case. Just like all of us, we lock a guy in a closet, it's dark, he says, oh my gosh, I'm in the closet, I'm going to die. There's no air in here, there's a boogeyman in here. And within 5 minutes, the guy's screaming at the top of his lungs he's going to die because he's worked himself into an anxious panic about a panic attack about what's going to happen. A Nitzchuk has the same thing. I can't pay the electric bill. They're going to turn off my electricity. It's going to be cold in the house. The kids are going to get sick. I have no money to go to the doctor. They're going to get very sick. They're going to die. Before it's over, he's worked himself into an entire panic, right? So we have to understand that. And you have to alleviate that fear. Just telling a person, I'll be there for you. I do this all the time. Nobody calls me back, but I know that I'm relieving their fear. Person Doug needs to have someone to call. They need to know there's someone there. You know, we have it with parents. My parents are growing up, 94 and 92. But I feel good because I have parents to call. What is my 94-year-old dad going to do for me exactly? I don't know exactly, right? What could they do? But there's a comfort in knowing there's someone there. That's what parents do for us. So too, when you're about Chesed, you tell a person, don't worry, when there's a tough time, you can call me. I'll try to help you. I'll be there for you. That comforts them. All right? Let's move along. Number 23. A man who loses a job gets down. This is important to understand. You know, in 2008, I called my father. I said, Dad, are there more gittin now? Money was tight. There was a crisis in the country in 2008. I said, are there more gittin now? He said, yes. He said, but not for the reason you think. So what are you talking about? There's no money. In fact, that's a Shalom Bayis problem, right? You come home, there's no money, there's no food, there's no tuition, whatever. He said, no. He says, a man loses his job, he comes home, he tells his wife, I lost my job. She says, okay, we'll have noodles for dinner. We'll fire the gardener. We won't go with Eretz Yisrael. We won't go with the Pesach. We're going to make it work. He said, that's not what happens. He said, the problem is when a guy loses his job, he goes meshuggah. I see it. Within 3 weeks, a guy loses his job. He comes to talk to me. He's crying like a baby that I'm worthless. I'm useless. Nobody wants me. I'm mamish garnish. I believe, by the way, that's my feeling, that was the klola of Adam. The klola of Adam was not that he's going to go to work on the Long Island Railroad when they don't have air conditioning, or that he's going to have a boss that's not so geschmack, or that he's going to have it work for a parnasso or worry about parnasso. I think the klola was that in his soul is the need to be able to provide, and that he's codependent because he can't always guarantee that. No one can guarantee that they'll always have the ability to provide. You can have the best job, you can lose it. You can be in the best business, the business can close. Anything can happen, right? You can be in real estate, New York State will make a decree that whenever the laws change, right? Everybody, every business, there's no business not in Sakana. So a person has, his soul is always something that his whole essence is close to. I believe the klal of Chava was the codependence of being loved by her husband. The fact that she's dependent on him loving her, Elisha Tishukosei, puts Chava in a place that her soul can only be filled by a third, by someone else. And that's it. Whatever you have, your soul only being able to be happy when someone else does something for you, that's a bad way to be, right? I can only be happy if my mom's happy. It's not if you're in trouble, because whether your mom's happy or not, it's not beyond always, you understand what I mean? So Parnos is that way. When a person loses their job, you should know that it's a brocha. Number 24. Money issues obviously can affect Shalom Bayis, I have to tell you that. Number 25, remember how hard it is to ask for help. The reason an ani is chashuv kemeis is a guy would rather be dead than ask somebody for money. The busha of asking someone for money is ani chashuv kemeis, he'd rather be dead. And I have to tell you, this is an unbelievable thing you can do. You can ask, they can't ask, but you can. I'll tell you a nice story. Many years ago, every Sunday people come to the door. Most of the regular guy comes to the door, his face is red. I said to him, what are you here for? A young man. He says, my face got burned, and I'm here in America, an Israeli fellow. I'm here in America, and there's a laser treatment. I think they re-burn the face with laser, and the rehealing is better than, you'll excuse me, I'm not the Einstein part now. I'm only here, so I don't know. They would know what to have. But there's a process now to rebuild, regenerate skin. I said, so what? So he said, it's $400 a treatment. So I'm going door to door to collect money. Okay. So I could have given him a check. I said, give me the name of the doctor. Next day, so it was Sunday, he came Monday, I called the doctor. I said, Rabbi Greenblatt, can I speak to Dr. Soas? Dr. Soas, Rabbi Greenblatt, you know, you're helping a fellow unbelievable. He's very appreciative, but he's going door to door. He doesn't have any money. The treatments are $400. The guy's broke. He's going to collect money. He said, Rabbi, I'm cutting them in half. It's $200 from that one. That was better than giving the guy $50, okay? And it was certainly a lot better than doing that. That was a phone call. What's the big deal? It cost a lot less than $50, only a phone call. The doctor was happy to do it. You know, I don't think he's probably, Baruch Hashem still has a wonderful career without this, but that is, it's hard for a Nitzchuk to ask for that. Why couldn't he ask? It's embarrassing to say, I have no money, I'm going to have to go door to door, can you give me a break? It's not easy to do. So we have to understand that so we can ask for them. Let's go on. Number 26. As humans, you want to fix things. This is a common thing. I want to give money and know it got fixed. You don't fix things. I don't think we can fix anything in the world, but we sure can't fix chesed cases. People need, right? They will come back. They will be needy again. The Pasuk says, V'chanoisi sasher achayim. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to help you now. I'm going to need to help you next year again. You'll be back again, right? Every Yom Kippur, we come back with, excuse me, the same Baba Mais was last year. This year's a new year, Rabbi. Doc, Rabbi, God, this year I'm going to be perfect. I'm not going to do any of the things I got last year. HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps us again, so we have to understand. You know, I got my neighbor, he had a nephew. The nephew had six kids, but he was a real shlamaz. This guy was like a difficult person, everything wrong. And this gvir had a nephew like him, so I would go to the gvir for money. So one time the gvir was at my house, and I said, Max, I need $10,000 for your nephew. He said, Rabbi, the H-E-L-L, I'm giving you $10,000 for my nephew. I'm tired of supporting that guy. He's good for nothing, etc. I said, Max, I heard it all. I heard the speech. Now I need $10,000. He said, I'm not giving you. I kept pushing. He said, okay, I'm giving you $10,000. This is the last time I'm giving you money. This is the last time I'm giving you any money for him. He gave me the check. I took the check. I said, Max, I just have one thing to tell you. He said, what's that? I said, I will be back. And you know what he did? He burst out laughing. He just started laughing because he knows I'm coming back. So we have to understand, we're not fixing things. People have credit card debt. You're going to pay off the credit card, but you're going to have more credit card debt next year. You can't fix things. That doesn't mean you shouldn't make an effort. It doesn't mean you shouldn't want to have some kind of insurer help for the people. If there's some hole there that can be fixed, you should try to fix it. But don't expect that we're going to fix things. All right, next, 27, don't be a chesed flashbulb. What happens to the chesed is, yes, sir?
I'm just curious in general, do you have a formula of how to know when you should give to, say, Klal Yisrael, or when you should give to your own family?
We'll talk about the halacha is your family comes first, and that's a hard, family comes first, that's the halacha, it's not me, relatives come first, and I'll be honest with you, it's the hardest thing in the world, because everybody knows that his brother-in-law is a bum. And he doesn't have a job, and he's had 10 jobs, etc. I make a joke to myself, I can collect from two Jews for the other guy's brother-in-law. In other words, when I ask you for money for Yaakov, he's somebody else's brother-in-law, he's not your brother-in-law. Oh, I get money, the guy's in trouble, I give you money for him. But for your brother-in-law, that guy, he's had opportunities. So it's a harder mitzvah to give. I find it harder to get from relatives, but that's what our first chiyuv is. Now, that doesn't mean you have to give all your money to your relative. You can ask your relative what your achrayus is, what that distribution should be, but that's our first, there's kedima there. Okay, now, and again, not to fix it necessarily. Just because you're not fixing it doesn't ponder you. All right, number 28, the way we do chesed is...
27.
What, 27, okay. Don't be a chesed flashbulb. This is, the world's a chesed flashbulb. I have it all the time. Rabbi, I want to make a program. I want to get a maid for every woman in town who doesn't have any money and has to clean up for Pesach. I just got a bunch of kids. I know it's hard. I'm going to pay for their maids. I know I'm going to have $10,000. I'm saying to myself, she's going to give me $10,000 this year. She's going to give me $5,000 next year. And in 3 years, she's going to say she doesn't have any money because whatever. And I'll have started a program that I can't continue because I'm going to have to tell the women in 3 years there's no money this year. Why? She's not bad, the lady. She's a hush of a lady. She's a fine lady. But our nature is it's exciting now. Now she got something exciting and it wears off. That's the way we are, right? So we want to be, you know, a masmid is not a person necessarily that learns all day, but he learns every day. And that's harder. Does everyone understand that? Everybody can do daf beis, but harifas, but daf, you know, when you daf samach, it's already wearing off. The masmid has to do an hour every day, right? Whatever it is. So too in stuck, it's important to be a masmin in stuck, not to be a flashbulb, and to realize that they're coming back tomorrow, I can't let myself tire of this. I mean, when a woman comes to me and wants to start a program like that, I tell her, only give me $5,000 this year, don't give me 10. So you say to yourself, what, are you sugar? She wants to give you 10. No, I don't, because I know that she's quitting in a few years, and I'm going to have to pay that program myself, so I don't want to start it at 10, because if I start it at 10, I won't be able to continue it. You understand? In other words, when she walks off away in 3 years and can't give me any money, and I have to find the $5,000, I'll be able to do that. So I only start programs knowing that they're going to have some kind of continuity And I realize, again, I'm not blaming them. This is the nature of people, and it's not avoided to be this kind of masmid. It's not easy. It's easier to learn, you know, to be excited about your learning and to learn one day well, but to continue every day is hard. So we want to be careful that we don't fall into that. 28, the way we do affects our star, we need to be a maskil adol, which means to be kind to people, sensitive to people, understand what they really need. What are they saying? 29, if a family's playing you, so what? That's how they live. People play me all day. What does it mean they play? Rabbi, the dog died. I really need money for the dog's funeral. Rabbi, I had a car wreck. I need a dog. Rabbi, I lost my job. Every day it's something else. Did it happen? Did it not happen? They need money, and they have to figure out, and they feel they need an excuse to ask for money. I don't mind. I don't verify whether the dog died. I don't verify whether the car had a wreck. They're not playing me. They need money. At the end of the day, the people that need money need, what am I giving them a year? A few thousand dollars? What does a person need when a person's in trouble? They need $50,000 a year, $30,000 a year, What does a divorced mother need? She needs another salary. She lost the income. She lost an income of one man, right? Whatever that was. So my $2,000, my $3,000, my $5,000, this is not solving all of her issues. So therefore, to go say, oh, I'm giving so much money, what's going to be? I have to go verify the story. Verify what story? That she's an Israelis? What are you verifying? She doesn't have a husband. She doesn't have an income of $50,000 to $100,000, so she's an Israelis. Number 29, 30. Combining tzedakah efforts reduces the load on giver, but hurts very often. You know, we want as many tzedakah programs as possible. The guy comes and he wants to open up another fund. I say, great, I'm going to give you money. Be my shliach. I'll get you started. I want as many funds as possible. Why? What are many funds going to do? That's going to put a greater demand on the givers. And there'll be more people for the poor people to turn to. And since the poor people aren't getting handled anyhow because they all need much more money than we're all of us together aren't giving them a 50 or 100 a year, so therefore let's have as many funds as we can. Combining them makes it easier for the donors, but doesn't necessarily help the recipients. Okay, 31, validating the case. There are chronic families. Our families are going to call all the time, but there's no alternative. This is how they live. 32, needy people have physical and emotional handicaps to hurt them. Today's doyer is one of emotional handicaps. Baruch Hashem, that's the issue today is primarily emotional handicaps. Primarily, what does that mean? I have one guy who never gets a job, he punches out the boss. That's his thing. Within a week, he knocks the boss out cold. He's always right. The boss is always wrong. But I know for sure he's going, I can't recommend him for a job because I cannot do that to a kid. You understand what I mean? But I know he's always good. But this is I have no job. I haven't worked, but I will not get a driver's license. I'm not getting a driver's license no matter what. I'm not taking the train. I will not go to work in Manhattan. But you got no job. I won't take this job because I'm waiting for the big one to come. If I take this job for $40,000, what if they need me? What if Trump needs me for the cabinet and they need me for $150,000, $200,000? I won't be available because I'll be on the $40,000 job. So there is this stuff out there. That doesn't stop us from helping. That's their handicap. It's an emotional handicap that they have that stops them from being productive. So what? Unless you feel that not giving them money is going to fix them or help them, then what's your excuse? It's not going to help them. That guy who's not getting a driver's license, if I tell him I'm not giving you no money, is not going to get a driver's license. Right? I'm assuming if being hungry and needing a job and not having an income didn't get him to get the driver's license, green light, giving him a check for $500,000 is not going to change him. So we deal with it. We give to him. 33. This is important. People have different financial priorities. We all have our financial. To you, going away from Pesach is a luxury. Having a maid is a luxury. Having a garden is a luxury. Having a fancier car. People have different priorities. And therefore, you can't subject that nitzrach to your priorities. So you never went away from Pesach. Good for you. You know, I have one lady, I went to her once, I said, I send jewelry out. Every Yom Tov, I send 3,700 women jewelry. Every Yom Tov. 2,700 almonis and 1,200 grushas. Why? So every Yom Tov, they get an envelope in the mail with a piece of jewelry. So what do you think? I go to China, I find something that looks like it's worth more than it really is. And the women feel that somebody, I sent them a note, they remember them. So I go once to a gvir, I can't get any support for this. $25,000 a yontif, for some reason I cannot get support for this mitzvah. As far as I'm concerned, the mitzvah's kodesh kodashim. I would go dig ditches to pay for this. But you told me right now, we don't have any money, go dig a ditch, I'll give you some money, I'll go dig a ditch. I can't see what could be better than being a sameach and amona or a grusha before yontif. I mean, to me, excuse me, I don't know, maybe I'm off, okay? I'll admit I'm off, but I don't know what to tell it. And then I went to one lady, one woman. I showed her the jewelry. She's a wealthy woman. She said, I wouldn't wear this. I only wear jewelry from Tiffany. Okay. No, you know what? and we would like to send 3,000 women to order from Tiffany, I'm also okay with it, but you know, that's not practical. So we have to understand our priorities, our world is not what necessarily there. So don't, and you can't change them. The guy says, I need to lease a new car. You say, why don't you? Don't argue with him why he can't use an old car. You're wasting your time. And even if you get him to take an old car, he won't be happy. And if he won't be happy, that's the first you saw. My goal here is to get the person to feel good. If he can't feel good, I didn't gain anything. So convincing him to take an old car when he's not going to be happy is wasting your time and wasting the mitzvah. So you might as well throw in the towel and figure out the best way to get the guy a leased car. Again. You can call the Rav and ask a Shiloh, the guy, you know, does this person really need X, Y, Z? Is that, you know, if it's ridiculous, so it's ridiculous. You have to decide, you know. But in any case, you're not going to change anybody, and don't confuse them with your own priorities. Some, I send families away for a break sometimes. God needs a break. And a Gvir will say to me, I never took a break. So you don't need a break. You understand? You spend half the year in hotels around the world for business. To you, getting on an airplane is a punishment. You understand? To a businessman, getting an airplane is a penalty. To a guy that doesn't go anywhere, going to Florida for 5 days is like a gansagane. You understand? Right? So what, that's not his priority. So what? Number 34. Be on guard for addictions. This is something today that's everywhere, and it's a churban, and it destroys families. I have to tell you. So you want to watch out for it because they'll come with some excuse and some need for money. But if you suspect it, you have to really deal with it. You certainly, there's no chesed in giving a person money for an addiction. What? Gambling, alcohol, everything today. Baruch Hashem, pornography. Baruch Hashem, it's a world rich with opportunity.
What's the distinction between someone who's addicted to something that fits into the DSM-5 or someone that's addicted to something that doesn't, like a fancy car? He wants this. He wants to gamble. What are you going to do about that?
I can't consider the fact that a guy that because a person's father had a nice car and his grandmother had a nice car and he grew up thinking that it's important and he's a married, not a nice car. I wouldn't call that an addiction like a guy that's taking dope or alcohol or something like that. He has a need. Having a need doesn't, because we have a need for something doesn't make it an addiction. You understand? I'm not addicted to food. I need food to live. I'm not addicted to warmth. I need warmth. For certain people, these are the way they grew up. And that's their level. So I think we have to I'm sure we can figure out some way to distinguish between a DSM addiction and having a need for something because that. But it could be a psychological or emotional need. But it's not a chemical need. We can understand it. I can understand.
But the mindset of the guy who needs a hit and his kids are going to go hungry because he's taking the money to get a hit instead of meeting the kids.
He also needs money. Yeah, but a father needs a nice car. He's not going to stop his kids from having food because he wants a nice car. But a guy has drugs, okay? So, push it, right? Correct? He's not showing it on himself.
So what are we going to do? We're going to help the kids.
I think we have to work on this. I think it's a good question. It's a fair question. I think we can make a distinction here. I think we can. And it's not, you know, not such an issue that the guy's, his wife never made Pesach in her life and her bubby never made Pesach and her grandmother's been going away to Pesach for 50 years. I'm not going to say he's an addict to Pesach, but I would say that the guy's taking drugs. Well, we can talk about it. No, let's go. I want to go through it. People have to go 35, and I'll take questions after, and I'll stay as long as you want. 35. All they have to do is go to work, which is hard also. Number 35. You have to help people you don't like. That's common, by the way. A lot of people that are not attractive. That's goofy why they don't have a job a lot of times, because they're not attractive. So you can't not help them because of that. To the contrary, 37. Local families are easy to help because you can verify them, you can call a Rav. 38, don't be harsh on your relatives. Someone asked me about this. 39, you have to have a Rav, obviously you can do for everything else in life. Number 40, don't wait till a person asks, give before. You know a person's a nitzra, why be mavayish them to make them call? So volunteer it. I think the Gemara says a chagiga, a davdala, davhei, somewhere that if you wait to give an ani money, b'shas dochkoi, you lose the schar. There's einish for you. What does it mean, you give him a money, b'shas dochkoi? Because you waited. Rashi says because he has to pay more money because the market price is going to be up, but also you forced him into the busha of being needy. So don't wait till people call you. Number 41, don't wait till the last minute. This is a common thing. Everybody wants to be a white knight. The guy called me up, they're cutting off his electricity on Friday. I wait till Thursday night and I call him up. Yago, Mashiach is here. I'm saving you. I'm paying your electric bill. Gvalik, you feel like I saved the day. The end of the day was you lost your scarf. Because Yaakov died 10 times this week thinking about his lights going out. So the fact that you waited till 12 hours before Lilco or whatever it's called, the electric company is coming to turn off his lights, you lost your schar. Why didn't you tell him Monday you're going to take care of this bill? What was the, to tell you a funny story, Ralph Hertzke is in Brooklyn, he's in Sonico, a guy called Stucker. I don't have a relationship with him a few times. Anyhow, I was once in the meeting with Ralph, he says, and Con Ed calls it, a lady calls him and says, Mr. Hertzke, could you help me pay my Con Ed bill? So Ralph says to the lady, how did you get my phone number? How did you hear about me? She says, the lady at Con Ed told me. She called Con Ed, she said, I can't pay my bill, and how can I get help? And the lady at Con Ed said, I don't know, a lot of people call up when they can't pay their bill, so Mr. Hertzke's game is going to pay it. So the Con Ed was sending him customers. Okay. Next, number 41, we did that. Number 42, build people up. Even when you can't give them, listening is important. You have no idea what a good word does to people. Even when you can't help them, the world says they're a Dessler. When this guy would come to a Dessler, he would sit and talk to the guy and then befriend the guy, ask him about his family and care about him. It's so hush you have no idea. I cannot give anybody all the money they call for. I can't. How much money would I need for every year that calls to give them? After 40 years, I've already pulled up Baruch Hashem, a clientele of 1,000. Can I give everybody all the money they want? It wouldn't be $5 million. I need $100 million. So therefore, I'm always apologizing, and I'm always telling them something. But if you tell them properly, if you explain it, you do the best you can, and they feel you've done the best you can, and you care about it, and you're sympathetic to them, that goes far. And they don't mind if they didn't get what they expect. 43, always give something. Very important, because if you don't give anything, you're saying, I don't believe your cause. When a person calls it, when you can't give the amount of money, if you give zero, then the person says he doesn't believe me at all. When you say, I can only give you $100, it's all I have now, he believes it, but he doesn't have more money. That's very the chilek between giving zero blessings, when giving zero and giving a little is a nafkamina. Next, number four, give money to a husband, not to the wife. You have all kinds of, don't insult him. I have the zichut, obviously everybody here knows that, but dealing with women, b'chlal, you have to be very careful today, all the time. You have to be careful in dealing with women, period, because it's a sakana today. It's all over the place, you know. Don't meet with women privately. You have to really be careful. Some of you are future rabbanim, this is a sakana gedoyla, and be careful. What?
Can you explain why I gave to the husband? You said you don't give to the husband, you mean it.
You have to refer it. And sometimes it's a busha for the husband if you give to his wife. He's embarrassed. You have to determine, you have to kind of have a feel for the chemistry there, whether you're embarrassing him or not. You know, that he feels guilty he can't provide. Are you hurting him by doing an end around here? 46, this is a good Asa. Make a long-term loan. If a guy needs money and you won't take stucco, you simply say, Yanko, you know what, I got money here. A guy gave me money to run a gemach. I can give you this money for a long-term loan. There's no date. Whenever you wish, if you can't even pay it back, don't worry about it. That comforts a guy much more than stuff. Does everybody hear that? It's a loan. And he hopes in his heart he will pay it. He can tell him, I've got confidence you will one day pay it back. I'm not worried about it. But meanwhile, it ain't coming back. But meanwhile, the person feels better. Next. This is something I do as much as I can. Giving people, if a person comes to me, I want to help my neighbor, I want to give him $5,000. I say, can I give him 5 checks for $1,000 dated for every month instead? Yeah, but he says yes. Why? Because that's a paska salary. That's more comforting for a person to know he's got 5 checks than to know he's got one. He takes the one check, he pays off 1 or 2 chlevis, and the next one he's having a heart attack again. Here at least it gives it psychologically, it's not, right? It helps them more. Obviously, unless he's got some $5,000 bill that they're going to shoot him for, you got to do. Make clear commitments with an end date. When you tell people you're doing something, say, people call me out of therapy. That's a big issue. Today, therapy, I'm going to give you money for 5 visits. I'll give you money for 2 months, whatever. I make an end date. And that because, and I say you can call back then if you want, but meanwhile, otherwise you become a Russia that you stop. You don't want to be a Russia for stopping. So if you give an end date, then everybody's clear. 49, make sure that you, for therapy and stuff like that, you want to make sure they pay part. A therapy that a person didn't pay for is not going to be worth too much because there has to be some investment to get well. Number 50, you can increase simcha by recommending you could give a family money for Pesach, you give them cash, they'll pay the rent. You give the woman a gift card for a new dress, and that might bring more simcha to them again. So I'm not saying the rent anymore, but if you want to bring simcha to them, you have to determine maybe it's better to give her. 51, I said, is negotiate for people. 52.
help people in every way. We talked about that: resume, interview practice, job research. Number 53, after helping, don't expect thank you notes, especially in today's world. If you're dealing with an emotional, not well person, if he could send you a thank you note, he could get a job. Listen to this, guys. If he could say thank you, he could get a job. Can I be clear to you? Because if a guy has that karsatoba, he can walk up to a guy on the shul and say, Yankel, I would really appreciate it if you would help me find a job. I'm really in trouble. I need a job. Could you help me? It would be so meaningful to me. Then you will respond. If you can't, if not, I'll take you out, find a place. If you, so Gufa, to expect a thank you note, the reason he's an instrument is commonly, again, I'm not saying that every person doesn't have this, but I'm saying commonly with an emotional leader, you know, they can't, they're not sending you a thank you note because there's a concern in there and understanding what's right, what's wrong, and who they owe that person to. Number 54, also, they're angry at the people that gave the money. A person's angry. What Chassam once said, he doesn't know why that guy's angry at him. He never did anything for him. In other words, the people are angry because you made them an itzrach. By giving them money, you made them an Israel. You didn't make them an Israel, but in their eyes, you responded, and they feel bad about the fact that they had to take. 54, if you can't help people, a lot of times you feel, what's going to be? You'd be surprised. There are other people that will help. There are other solutions. 55, store vendors are always happy to work. Whatever, use others to participate. It's very important to be ma'aseh people. This is a lesson I learned as Rav. Those of you who are listen to this lesson. It's very important. Here's the call. I get this call every 2 weeks. Rabbi, my neighbor can't pay her mortgage. What can we do? So I say, lady, find out how much the neighbor's mortgage is. Find out how much in arrear she is. I don't know her that well. Listen, you want to help her, we got to know the amount of money. We can't help people. I can't get stuck in widows. Tell your neighbor you want to help her. You need to know what the issue is. How much does she owe? So, okay. Next day the phone rings. Rabbi, I spoke to my neighbor. She owes $5,000. Good. So what can you do? So call this note. I say, well, I'm ready to give $1,500. I'm giving the last $1,500. You find the first $3,500. I'll give the last $1,500, the last $2,000, whatever. She says, Rabbi, I never raised money in my life. My husband and I don't have no money. I never raised a nickel of stock in my life. I can't get any money. I say, well, then she's not getting the $1,500 from me. That'll be that. And he says, no, you're not going to give your $1,500 if I don't raise the $3,500. I say, no, I'm not giving it. So he says, no, it's unbelievable. This lady's another. Now she feels really bad because now she calls the lady half of the $1,500. She doesn't know what to do. This is every time the same call. About 2 weeks later, I get a call like this. Rabbi, you're not going to believe this. I raised the $3,500. I can't believe it. I went to my neighbor. They gave me $100. I went to this guy. They didn't give me anything. They gave me $500. I can't believe it. I stuck it all together. No problem. I give the $1,500. And within 6 months later, always the same story. I bump into the same lady. She said, Robbie, I've been paying my mortgage every month since then. I'm able to raise the money. I was ma'asa, that person. I put that person into a whole new position of seeing themselves as a person who can do it. This story's happened to me 10 times, Rabbi said. Okay? Not an easy story. I have to put pressure. At one time, I was at a weekend somewhere, and there was a wife of a doctor. She heard I helped you. She had his worst woman needs help. I need, can you help her? I said, good. Let's get her $5,000. I'll give you the last $2,000. You have to raise three. She called me up. She says, Rabbi, I went to a bunch of people. I've got 1,000. You asked me to raise 3. I can only raise 1,000, but you still give your 2. I said, if you call one more person. She called one more person. The guy gave $5,000. All right? But the point is really being ma'asa people. You teach them. That's why Gola ma'asa yosher ben ha'isa, because you now made it. I made it stuka keli at this lady. In other words, she's now a woman that's going to be ma'asa stuka. So it's something to learn that you can do also. Next. We'll be finished. People want to give to good causes. There's plenty of money out there. You just have to show that you care and you're working for it. Success is based on personal integrity. People give people money. They don't give causes money. People don't know how to differentiate between causes. Everybody that comes to a gvir has a story. And the gvir says, I don't know how to tell whether this yeshiva is more chashuv than the other yeshiva, or whether this tzedakah is more. That's what the gvir says. But I know this person is an erelich person, and I give him money. I used to tell my wife, so I can go. A guy gave me a check. I could be collecting for the Hare Krishnas. I could be collecting for the Christian church. And the guy would have written me a check. You don't even hear what I'm collecting for. Why? Because he says, I know, bring that. He's an erelich guy. I give him money. And whatever it is, I'm sure he does listen. I once heard a good wife said, bring that with you. What's he collecting for? He said, I don't really know. Okay, next. I wrote him a check. Number 59, fear of asking for a contribution is normal. Everybody has cold. There's 100 books written on how to make a cold call. The best way to get past it is to commit to something. So let's say a guy's making a wedding, he's got no money. You say, Yaakov, I'm going to get you $10,000. You don't have a nickel. All you have to do is say those words. That's how you get past the cold calling fear.
The solution for getting past the cold, cold fear is one line: Yaakov, I'm going to get you $10,000 for your wedding. That solves the whole problem. Why? Because now you are in a real pickle. Okay? Because you told the guy you're going to raise $10,000, and that forces you into picking up the phone. When I call a guy, I make those commitments. I call a guy, if I get his voicemail, I dance around the house. I'm so happy I didn't have to ask anyone because I have the cold calling fear. Sometimes I wait till the chuppah. You understand what I mean? I'm at the wedding. I didn't raise all the money yet. I said, I'm going to really be in a pickle because the caterer is going to be here in an hour, and the guy, I need the money. I still don't want to do it. I can't do it. It's hard for me. We're all that way. It's the nature of that insecurity within us. I'm no different than anyone else that has that fear. But the fact that I committed, I'm stuck. Okay? And that makes the commitment. Because Baruch Hu makes it happen. I wrote a list at the end of 13 things that are a summary of these things. Real quickly, work on your empathy. Number two, I made this stop. I did it this morning for you guys. Stop worrying that they're abusing and stuck upon. There's always, oh, everybody's taking money. How do you know they're honest people? I have to tell you, I'm doing this 40 years. I never had nobody steal from me. I never found anybody that was a zillionaire that was taking money. I never found anybody stuffing it into the mattress. In America, healthy people, are there not well people? There are not well people. Are there homeless people that are off the wall and hoarding money? And yes, there are not well people that can be doing that. In my world of families with people that are in the Hamoinam, you know what I mean? In Amadaber, in our world, I don't have that problem. People aren't hoarding money. Now, in a local community where you certainly know who they are, what they are, you can determine that. Combining stuck and living without needy, don't try to change priorities. Give with expectation you'll need to give again. Give a long-term loan. Kind, sensitive, empathy, go far. Give what you can no matter how small. Make it clear that you're not bothered that they call. Very important. When a person calls, say, Yaakov, I know you're in trouble. I'm glad you called. Don't hesitate to call again. It's very important for him to hear that. I think of Hutner, someone writes, the reason why there's a mitzvah to be malava, a person out of the house, Dalet Amos, we would go visit Ramlesher, and Ramlesher would get up, and he would walk us out the door of the co-ops on the east side, and walk us to the elevator. The Saratoga would waste his time to walk my father and I to the elevator because of the mitzvah. The point is, because when you walk a person to the door, you say, I'm happy you came, I want you. It makes the whole visit. For the person says, he was happy I came. The Horai is walking me out. So you want a person that I'm happy you called. I don't mind that you called. He could call again. So that takes the whole log. Because he said, I bother him. He doesn't want to hear from me. I was embarrassed to call, and I know he hates it. Tell him not. Number nine, make it clear you're not bothered. Number 10, teach others how to raise money. We did that. Don't be offended that they're playing with you. That's what they do. They need ways to raise money. Committing is the best way to get over cold fear. And relatives come first. That's a little insight on Stanka. We can talk about something else some other time. Rabbi, this could die. And if not, I love meeting everybody. Brother, should give each one of you the script that you reach. Build beautiful homes, and you should build five shul, take askanas, rabbanas, and tzaira, and keep the air for the Jewish people, every one of you. It's a pleasure to meet you all. Okay?
Thank you so much.
I think
he's hired. We covered, okay, Rabbi?
Yeah, absolutely amazing. I don't know if anybody has any questions.
Any questions, Rabbi, please. And if you don't want my email address, or give an email address, if you have a question, yes.
How did you balance getting a